Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. Been looking forward to today's program for a long time because I will be talking once again to Michael Perry. Michael has a new book out. It's titled Improbable Mentors and Happy Tangents. And we're going to go into some detail with him about the book over the next 2 hours or so. As we are in the last day of our year-end member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio, you count on WPR for in-depth discussions, and it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference both this year and as we head into 2026 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Eric Grayling, Chief Development Officer and Executive Director here at WPMR, is joining me. And Eric, it's good to have you back, by the way.
I'm delighted to be back.
And we've got a goal.
We do. We are trying to reach 300 individuals giving us a call today so that we can unlock an additional $10,000 from current members. It's the last day of the drive, so this goal is really important. We're over a third of the way there already, but it relies upon you making that call. You know, this goal will really help us make sure we have the funding for the programs that you rely on.
We have 116 gifts already with 184 to go. So, and you know how we do that. We meet at one donation at a time. Let's start with yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is committed to quality, and that's one of the reasons we've been around for over 100 years. And since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for WPR, that quality is possible thanks to you.
When you give, you're part of the outstanding news and information service you tune into for news and everything else every day here on WPR. Make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yes, let's all end the year on a high note with a gift to WPR. Your support makes a difference in the programming we can offer you all year long. Donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
For me, it's really a sense of a connection to the world and the world of ideas. It keeps me informed. It keeps me thinking. I can't remember the number of times that I've had conversations with people saying, oh, I heard something this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio or National Public Radio. And then it's a way of having a very interesting discussion with other people about some of those ideas. And so I think that it keeps me informed and it keeps me thinking and is a way of engaging other people in important ideas. This is David Corey from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information in the arts, culture, politics, and the world.
Thank you, David. You can give as well as David at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. This is our year-end member drive. I'm Larry Mueller with Eric Grayling. Listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift, $10 a month, $50 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact.
It is an important impact. Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do, and it only takes a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Once again, our goal today is to reach 300 individual gifts so that we can unlock an additional $10,000 from current members. This goal is important. It will help us make sure we have the funding for high-quality programs like this one that keep you informed and inspired. Now's the great time to give at WPR.org or with that call to 888-202-2552.
And when you do that, you can ask for your Wisconsin State Park Pass this drive. You can support the programs you value and ask for your park sticker that will give you access to literally dozens of state parks and recreation areas for a whole year. You can ask for your park pass while supplies last at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And at every level, that great WPR Suncatcher ornament as well. And if you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. If you are a sustainer, it's a great time to add to your gift. It's so easy to set up. You'll just make monthly ongoing donations from your bank account or credit card. Super easy, super reliable for all of us. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love.
Amy in Rice Lake says, I enjoy WPR's variety of content and trust WPR News. Tell you what, your gift right now, very powerful and makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We are turning our attention now to Michael Perry. Michael, of course, a New York Times best-selling author. He has written a number of books, and his latest, which I really have enjoyed, is titled Improbable Mentors and Happy Tangents. Great to have Mike with us by phone today to talk about the book and probably talk about some of his other books as well. Maybe you could tell us, as you listen, tell us about a person who made a big difference in your life. There's time to do that. I hope you'll join in. Maybe you have a question about Michael and his writing. Give a call. The number's 800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Michael Perry, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
It's great to be with you, Larry. I'll have to, you know, get off the phone as soon as possible because it's in the teens above zero here and the sun's out, so I need to get out and tune up my tan.
You know, you and I was trying to do the math on this. I think you and I have been doing shows together for probably 25 years.
Yeah, imagine at least, because I think, I know that the book Population 485 came out in the fall of 2002, and I know that you were kind enough to have me on then, and I've just kind of been plowing ahead ever since.
So, you haven't. Yeah. You have indeed, and I really enjoyed reading your book Improbable Mentors and Happy Tangents. What got you started thinking about your mentors?
Well, I can tell you the exact moment. So I did a couple of gigs, as we call it in the business, speaking events. I did some live humor performances down in Alabama. And the guy that brought me down there is a public speaker who discovered Population 485 during a tornado warning at Arcadia Books in Spring Green, Wisconsin. They had a tornado warning, and everyone had to go to the basement. And he just happened to be coming through that area, and he grabbed a random book, and it happened to be Population 485, and took it to the basement with him. But anyways, he just over the years has been really kind to me and supportive. And so he had me come down to Alabama, where he lives, to do a couple of humor performances. And he asked if there was anything I wanted to do while I was down there. And I said, I've never caught a fish in the ocean. And so he has a boat, a pretty nice boat. And so he took me on our off day. We were 12 miles out in the ocean. I threw in my bait. I caught my first ever fish. I think it was a red snapper. I reeled it in. And as I landed it in the boat, the engine conked out. So we spent the next 4 hours idling back to shore, and we were never in any danger or anything like that. I mean, there were big waves for a kid from Chippewa County, Wisconsin, used to fishing on a 12-acre lake. But we were never in any danger, but we had 4 hours of just having to sit there. And so we just started talking about how we wound up doing what we're doing. Neither of us planned any of it. Neither of us came from a background that would suggest we'd end up doing what we're doing. And we just started talking about the people that we'd met along the way. The phrase I use is the ones who showed us the way before the way was clear. And the things we learned from people who operated in fields utterly unrelated to ours, and yet the wisdom and the insights that they gave us really helped us along the way. And so at one point he said, well, you should write up a little speech about this and then turn it into a little book. And I kind of dismissed it, and then I had a three-hour flight home, and I thought, well, that's a pretty good idea. So on that three-hour flight home from Alabama back to the snowy cold, I sketched out an outline and wrote every little note that I could think of. And then about a year later, we came out with this little book about just all the folks, whether it's, I say in the subtitle, I said how firefighters and poets, truckers and nurses, soldiers and singers and other improbable individuals can show you the way in business and creativity. And I threw that business part in there just because I've been a self-employed artist for all these years too. And sometimes artists are afraid to talk about that. And I just think you have to be frank about the difficulties of making a living and just talk about, I learned things from business people, and I learned things from poets, and I learned things from truckers. And so, yeah, it's been literally a little book. It's one of, it's little short sections, and it's just been a fun one to put out there. And it has landed me in circles I was never in before, too. Like, I've been on some business podcasts and finance podcasts. So I think I'm a finance bro now, I'm pretty sure. So.
Well, it is kind of part a little memoirish, too.
Sure.
Which I love.
Yeah, very much like stuff in there about how I got started and how much of that was accidental. I talk about that. One of the biggest breaks I ever got, I spent about 10 years writing about country music and going around the country, sometimes literally riding on the tour buses with the acts, going to hundreds of shows and writing reviews and interviewing the stars and going backstage. And I write about how that all only happened because of a mistake, which is the local newspaper reporter, a country music publication in Nashville called him and asked him to cover a local country music festival. And he was so busy with all his other stuff. He had seen the one article I had written about one country band. And they said, well, do you know anyone else who writes about country music? And he gave him my name. And so the phone rings. I'm in New Auburn, Wisconsin. And this editor in Nashville from Country Weekly said, are you the guy who writes about country music? And I said, yes, I am.
I love that piece.
10 years later, yeah, so sometime.
And 10 years later, you spent 10 years writing about it.
Yeah, going on the road, interviewing people, doing profiles. Yeah, it was great. So you never know.
Did you choose mentors? Did you ever choose a mentor, by the way?
No, and I talk about that pretty early in the book. I have a little section on my neighbor Tom, and I wrote a book called Visiting Tom, all about him and his wife and their story. And it was one of my favorite books because, although it's a memoir, it was mostly outward looking and filled with their life as much as mine. But I talk about a moment where I'd been following Tom for probably a couple of years pretty closely, asking him all kinds of questions about his life and his hopes and his dreams and his successes and failures and joys and disappointments. But mainly I just hung out with him and followed him and watched him work and listened to him talk. And then I had this moment with him where, after all this wisdom I picked up from just hanging out with him, I had this moment when I was finishing the book and I realized, well, this, our formal visits are coming to an end. And so I thought, oh, there's just this one last question I have to ask him. And so I said, Tom, and I got really serious about it too. I just said, Tom, all this living, all this life, all these experiences, I said, do you have any regrets? And he looked me right in the eye and he said, yep. And then he didn't say anything else. And I realized, oh, I see. Yeah, he does, and he's not about to tell me about them. But what I extrapolated from that, which is like a lot of these statements, it's certainly not true in every case. But in general, what I extrapolated from that is you can't really go hunting a mentor. You can't go hunting wisdom. You can't go hunting advice. You get a lot more just living and listening and observing. And this book is filled with people that I never chose as mentors, and in fact, never recognized as mentors until well after the fact. So,
Michael Perry, our guest, his book, the wonderful book titled Improbable Mentors, A Happy Tangent. And you can join in too, by the way. The number is 800-642-1110. 1234. You could email to talk at WPR.org if you want to comment for Michael. I'd love to hear from you. During our year-end member drive, as a matter of fact, and I hope you'll also set WPR for success in 2026 with your gift on this last day of the year-end member drive. Maybe you've already given this year, or maybe you're making ongoing monthly gifts. Today, maybe make a special year-end gift for the essential service you rely on all year long. It just take a couple of minutes at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Eric Grayling with me. Eric, we've got a big network of stations.
We've got a really big network of stations, and thanks to our members, it's 39 stations and 7 bureaus all across Wisconsin, providing programs that inform, engage, inspire. We're on air, we're online, we're in person through our live events all across the state. Don't let missing this member drive supporting WPR be a regret that adds to your year, because a lot has happened in this year. It's been a challenging year, and that makes your support more important than ever. Your gift will keep WPR strong today and well into the future. Please give at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
You know, we were talking earlier, as I was talking with Mike, I thought it's been 25 years at least that he's been appeared on this show, and I thank him deeply for his appearances, because he brings a unique approach to his writing and to all the work that he does. And I think today, as we talk about mentors and you reflect on maybe mentors you've had, this is a great value. And we're listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you. Take a minute and make your gift.
And we can help you make your donation even easier. It's easier when you become a sustainer. Choose the amount that's right for you. Say $10 or $20 a month. At $25 a month, we can say thank you with that state park pass. And you can have it charged from your bank account or your credit card.
And when you're a sustainer, your monthly gift continues, of course, year after year. So your support is always current. You can always stop whenever you want, but we like to keep you going here. Start your ongoing monthly gifts right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. It's a very powerful way to support the WPR programs you love.
Support WPR's essential public service that you and your neighbors rely on, and also access another treasured Wisconsin resource, the State Park System. Ask for next year's admission sticker when you give $25 a month or more for the WPR programs you value. From the beaches of Lake Michigan to the hills of the Driftless area, there's so much to enjoy in Wisconsin, on the ground and on the airwaves. Support WPR and ask for your State Park Pass. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Eric Grayling. Your support during this drive makes this show and many more shows possible that you hear here on WPR. Your gift, 10, 20 bucks a month. I'd give 25, and then we'll send you the State Park sticker as well. But whatever amount you choose, it's the right amount.
That's right. But don't delay. Join this great community of people coming together right now to make great radio possible. We're looking for 300 people to join us today to unlock an additional $10,000 in giving. You can make that choice by going to WPR.org or calling us at 888-202-2552.
How much should I give? That might be something you're wondering about. It's up to you, your contribution. We can just keep repeating this. Any amount will be turned into programs that keep you informed and entertained all year long.
Make your gift right now in the amount that is right for you. You can do that at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. Thank you for making an investment that serves your whole community.
Eric, did you see what Kyle in La Crosse said today.
What was that? Oh, yes, I do see it. Larry is the best medicine for difficult days. It's great to have something light and informative to look forward to every day. Kyle's got it right, I think.
Oh, Kyle, thank you so much. What about you now? With your gift right now is very, very important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Thanks for joining in today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Michael Perry. His new book, is titled Improbable Mentors, A Happy Tangent. Sort of another subtitle, How Firefighters and Poets, Truckers and Nurses, Soldiers and Singers and Other Improbable Individuals Can Show You the Way in Business and Creativity. You can join in. I hope you do. Talk to Michael. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address is talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Did you have a specific audience in mind, Mike, for this book?
I think it was a little more general than usual, and then also I do get asked sometimes to talk about the intersection of art and commerce, which I don't know if you should or not. I'm tooling around the country in a 2002 Toyota van, and the hatch doesn't open half the time, and I'm missing two hubcaps. But yeah, I do sometimes get asked to just talk about what I've learned about being, I guess, a creative. I'm always loath to use that term because, my dad, the farmer, is creative too, but just the little things that I've learned at that intersection of trying to pay the rent with writing books. But then also, definitely, even more so, just anyone who's pursuing something that is a little bit tangential or asymmetric or doesn't fit the square peg in the square hole thing, I'm hoping that the book serves to show that it isn't always about charting everything out and setting goals. It's just about forward motion and being open to it. So the title's Improbable Mentors and Happy Tangents. And the reason I wanted to include the tangents is because how many times I trace something backward, the country music thing, trace it backward, and it leads to this chance moment that I wasn't even looking for or wasn't even pursuing. And, in my case, I was a farm kid with a nursing degree, and I liked working as a nurse, but I, got an interest in writing accidentally and started doing it, and it turned into this. So I think in general, it's one of those, I tried to keep it practical. I didn't want it just to be, head in the clouds, but I also want it to be hopeful and funny, and life is goofy. And so, yeah, I think in general, there's a little bit of the nuts and bolts of making a living in there, but then there's also just whatever you're pursuing, just to be open to those folks and those paths that are helping you before you realize it. And I usually save this for the end, but I just wanted to say too that if you want more info about the book, sneezingcow.com is the best place to go. But your independent bookseller can get it. They might have to order it through Ingram. We did this through our own little publisher this time. But it is sneezingcow.com is a good place to start, and that will point you to booksellers and whoever. So,
John and I was wondering, how much does age matter in a mentor and a mentee relationship?
Oh, I like that question because on the one hand, I wrote a book called The Scavengers, and there's a long overdue sequel that everyone always asks me when I'm going to finish, and I have the same question for myself. But one of the things I loved about that book is the main character is a young girl pattern. I had two daughters and I wanted to write a book, not necessarily about them, but that drew on my experiences watching them. And so this young girl is probably, it never comes right out and says, but probably between 10 and 14. And what I wanted her to do is to have two people in her life who were elders. And I patterned them very much on my real life neighbors, Tom and Arlene. So in that case, I think it's invaluable. I think I grew up with so many what we call the old timers.
Yeah.
And you communed with those old timers and you talked to them and we worked beside them in the fields. And I think that's so valuable. On the other hand, I do also like to play against type too and say, you know, I'm now old enough to say that some people make it well into their advanced years and don't ever seem to learn a thing we're sharing. So and actually that then takes me to what maybe is an actual helpful answer, which is I find that at this point in my life, at my age, that I try to remind myself to turn to younger people occasionally and make sure and listen, because sometimes what they say is naive, and sometimes what they say, you can tell they need to put a few more miles on. But in other cases, they're seeing things. You know, I have a daughter that's 18 and a daughter that's 25, and I'm still dad, and I still try to give advice, but I also try to listen to what they're seeing, and because they do have a perspective that's worth listening to. Yeah. So, yeah, I think wisdom definitely, it becomes seasoned and more valuable with age and time. So mostly I do think of older people, but the young have a lot to teach us too, and they're a great source of hope for me.
Yeah, they are for me as well. I've got a 22-year-old daughter, and I've got three daughters, but the one that I'm most often seeing is 22, and I've learned a lot from her. She's taught me an awful lot. Cater and Ernst, go ahead.
And you generally know a lesson is incoming when you hear the word dad.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That particular intonation means you're about to learn about something.
Oh, boy. Cater and Herbster, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, I don't know if you remember me. It's been a long time. This is Cater Olive. But
I do remember. When I heard the name Cater, I said, I knew a Cater once. There you go.
There's only one, so you know him. So I just want to put a plug in for kids. I mean, practical knowledge and wisdom that's gained through experience and age is it's really valuable. But a lot of times we get so many filters and so many bad memories that we're wrestling with that we forget about innocence and wonder and curiosity. And I teach a lot of nature workshops. And anytime there's a family with little kids, the 4-year-old kid is the leader and everybody else has to do what they do. No hovering, no telling them what to do. Kids have a lot to learn about practical knowledge and making their way in the world, but they have a lot to offer to adults about sense of wonder and curiosity.
Yeah, I want to heartily second that, because I don't remember if I wrote about it in this book, in the Improbable Mentors book, but I have written about it other places. Mm-hmm. One of the things over time is I've watched some of my cherished mentors, I think of two B words, they grow brittle and bitter. And I'm trying really hard as I get older. There are a lot of things that, you know, we all eventually turn into the old person yelling off the porch. But I'm trying to balance that, and I am trying to not become bitter and brittle. And part of that is exactly what Cater just said. I think, you know, I've hit another milepost in my life, which is I love to see my daughters growing and becoming adults and finding their own way and stepping back and giving them that space. So I'm not a guy who spends a lot of time being overly sentimental about the past, but I do find that when I look at photos now of them, when I was actually able to hold them in my arms, it takes my breath away, because I realize that's never going to happen again. And I get teary, and I get very vulnerable. And you know what? That's a really valuable place to put yourself emotionally. We need to be more vulnerable. We need to be awed by their sense of wonder and awe. So I appreciate Cater saying that. Yeah,
Cater, thank you. You can join in too. Number to call 800-642-1234, or if you'd like, you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. I was interested in reading about Jim Harrison, because you learned a lot from Jim Harrison, but at the time you'd never spoken to him.
No, Jim Harrison is a writer originally from Michigan and most widely known via Brad Pitt in the film Legends of the Fall, because Jim Harrison wrote the novella Legends of the Fall. But Jim Harrison, I was surviving as a writer and, you know, writing used car ads for the radio station and brochures and the occasional essay for regional magazines. But I had this habit of really locking everything up tight and trying to kind of spoon feed the reader. And I remember reading Jim Harrison for the first time, and he had all this white space, and he would jump from ice fishing in Michigan to drinking fine wines in southern France and then back to Michigan. And he trusted that the reader would make those leaps with him. And it really changed the way I wrote. And I read everything he wrote since voraciously, just because there's something about his voice and the rhythm to it. And what I say there is that I had two opportunities to meet him, and I declined because I knew that the moment would never live up to everything that I owed him, and I could never possibly convey it. And I would also be the 200th person who had told him that his writing had changed my life. And I'm very comfortable with that decision. And I did. I was on book tour one time, and he was coming to the bookstore the next night. And that was one of the times they said, well, if you want to hang around, you could meet him. And I said, you know, it's just going to be awkward for both of us. So I just left him a little handwritten postcard. And I just said, thank you for your writing. It changed my life. And I said, as an artist, but it also helped me support my family. And about a month later, I got a printed out fax. That's apparently how he corresponded with people. He had an assistant, and he would write you a note, and then he would fax it to his assistant, and she mailed me the fax where he just said thanks. And so I think sometimes your mentors, you're better off benefiting from their work than their presence.
Yeah. I found that sometimes, not in your case, but there have been times when I've interviewed somebody who I, an author, for example, who I thought was going to be one type of person and turned out to be really a totally different kind of type of person than I expected. And well, sometimes I was happy about it, and then other times I was kind of sad about it.
Yeah, it can cut both ways pretty quick.
Yeah, it can. Stuart in Minneapolis, we'll go to you. Hi, Stuart.
Yeah, I just tuned in a few minutes ago. I heard your subject, and a reflex went off. I have to call in. And here's why. I'm a participant in a national program called Eldera. And it matches people over 60, I'm well over 60, with young people as mentors. We meet on a very regular basis, generally weekly, for half an hour to whenever you want to stop, an hour maybe or more. And the children are generally between the ages of 6 and maybe 16. And we define mentorship as best suits any particular situation. The name of the program is Eldera, and we're always looking for people of a certain age over 60 to join in. And there's all you have to do is just go to Google to the website Eldera, and it's all very well spelled out.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful, because I think, as I said, when I grew up in rural Wisconsin on a dairy farm, and we worked with the neighbors, and you went to the implement store, and the old farmers were hanging out there shooting the breeze and telling stories, and that kind of interaction happened, I think, a little more naturally back then. And so in this case, I'm glad that you mentioned that. It sounds like a great way to have those exchanges in a time when we don't have them so naturally anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Stuart. Appreciate it very much. Michael Perry, our guest, his book titled Improbable Mentors and Happy Tangents. It's great to have him with us. And great to have Eric Grayling with me as well here as we are into our final day of our year-end member drive, and your financial support is really important to help us keeping going here day in and day out through the year. Make your tax-deductible year-end gift right now for 2025 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Been a challenging year.
It has been a challenging year for public media, for a lot of folks, and there'll be more challenges ahead, but please know at WPR, we are as committed as ever to the Wisconsin communities that we serve. WPR will remain a strong and a vibrant service, but that depends upon your help right now. Invest in the programming you count on. Give us a call now or go online at WPR.org. That phone number is 888-202-2552.
Here on Wisconsin Public Radio, you hear from people who maybe wrote the bill, who wrote the book, who has unique experiences to share. Glad to seek these people out and get them on the show, and it's your support that makes this important work possible. You make great radio happen when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm really enjoying being a listener today, as well as having this opportunity to invite you out there listening to give. Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for you, for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, dollar a day is a great value. It's less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
Dollar a day comes out, of course, to $30 a month, and you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or your charge. You can charge it to your credit card. Make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is, I mean, it is Wisconsin. I moved here from another state, and that was my introduction to Wisconsin. And every day, that's how I know what's going on in Wisconsin. On a monthly basis, I'm contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio. When I hear them talk about sustaining members, I realize that's me. And I kind of like that. Contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio makes you feel like you're part of a family or like a community. That's how I feel every month. And even if they're just giving a small amount, they can feel that way too. I'm Bridget from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our drive. Larry Mueller here with Eric Grayling. Join in with your gift right now because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
WPR is probably a preset in your home or your car, maybe your home and your car. I hope you listen to WPR a lot. Please help pay for the station you enjoy so much. Become a member today.
Yeah, make that switch from somebody who listens to somebody who listens and contributes. Start with a gift of maybe $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Our goal today is 300 gifts. We're halfway toward that goal. That's going to unlock an additional $10,000 in giving from current members. This goal is important. It's set so that we are sure we have the funding for the high-quality programs that keep you informed and inspired. You can help us reach that goal by going to WPR.org or giving us a call at 888-202-2552.
And if you contribute $25 a month or more, we'll send you the Wisconsin State Park Pass for this drive when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. It's so easy to set up, and you'll make monthly ongoing donations from your bank account or your credit card. So easy, so dependable. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love.
Marion McFarland says, I love the news and discussions on WPR News. What about you? Join with your gift. Powerful really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Thanks for joining in today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here talking today with Michael Perry. His latest book is entitled Improbable Mentors, A Happy Tangent. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments or maybe an experience to share. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you could email us the email address talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Oprah comes to mind here. Yeah. One day you got a call from Oprah, or maybe rather one of her producers, and wanted you to appear on the show.
Yeah, I might be the only writer in history to say no to Oprah. And to this day, I don't know if it was the right decision or not, but here we are. Yeah, yeah, and you're right. It was not Oprah. Oprah does not have my personal number. But this was way back when I was first starting out. And part of the lesson here is just, you know, are you ready is the question at hand. And I was still just starting out. I hadn't published any books. I think I had self-published a couple of books, and they were pretty rough. But I was writing essays and, again, ad copy, whatever it took to pay the rent. And I was headed up north for a recording session late at night, and there was a pretty horrific accident with an individual ejected. And I was, you know, I've been an EMT for years. And so I had my kit with me, and so I pulled over, and I tried my best to tend to this person until the ambulance got there. And it was pretty clear that the individual probably wasn't going to survive, and it was quite a bad trauma scene. But I did what I could, and they hauled the person off in the ambulance, and then I went to a gas station up the road and washed my hands. And I had been wearing gloves, but I had broken through one of the gloves in the process of helping this person and had gotten some blood on my finger, and so I washed that off. And this was during the very early stages of when the AIDS crisis was becoming a much more public issue, and some controversy and misunderstanding and fear. And so it turned out I was notified that the person died, but that I had had an exposure to HIV positive blood. And I wasn't too concerned. I was pretty well informed, and I knew that I was at very low risk, but nonetheless, I had to get tested and for the next year and that sort of thing. So I wrote an essay about, you know, at the time, again, consider the times. We're talking the early 90s. You know, there were moral judgments being cast and a lot of misinformation and disinformation. And so I just said, you know, however you feel about this, this is not just some distant problem. It's here in the heartland, and we need to try to educate ourselves about it and, you know, try to do the right thing and be prepared and helpful. And it got picked up and published in Newsweek as an essay. And that was like the biggest publication I'd ever been in my life. And so I came home, and the phone rings, and it was one of Oprah's producers, and she said, Oprah read your essay in Newsweek and she just loves it. I'm not sure that Oprah ever even cracked Newsweek that week, but they said that she loves it and she wants to have you on the show. Well, I got this big thrill, because even though I didn't have any books out or anything of any note, I knew, boy, that's the ticket, you know, a writer that can get on Oprah. I said, oh yeah, well, sounds great. What's the deal? And they said, well, we're doing a show on heroes. And I just felt my gut sink, because I just knew where we were headed. And I said, well, it wasn't really about me. It was about what I learned and what we need to learn and what I'm trying to, trying to better myself here. And they said, oh, but we think you're a hero. And I said, well, I'm not a hero. And I said, I'll come on the show if we can talk about HIV and spread some education about that, but I'm not going to come on and pretend I'm a hero. And boy, that was the end of the talk. And like I think I said in the book, and I don't have it right in front of me, but I said, I'm pretty sure that within 3 minutes they had booked somebody else. So anyway, over the years, you know, there's times when I go, well, maybe I was an idiot, because that could have been my big break. But I really don't think it was, and I think it would have been a mistake, because I would have been on there thinking, oh, this will really help me. But I wasn't ready yet. I really hadn't read Jim Harrison. I really didn't have a style. I couldn't write Population 45 at that point. I was getting there. I was making progress. But so part of that lesson, and the reason I included it in the Improbable Mentors book, is that sometimes the lesson is to say no. What is the phrase they use in business? First mover status. That's how you win. That's how you make the big money, is you're the first mover. You see something and you pounce on it before anyone else does. And in a lot of cases, that's absolutely true. But in this case, if I'd have just pounced on this immediately, I just think I just would have probably embarrassed myself. I know I certainly would have gotten very sweaty.
So they...
Anyways, I still wait, and I got to say, almost 30 years later, she still hasn't called back.
Well, that's... but that's, you know, that's good advice that you're giving there. You want to listen to that inner voice, don't you? I mean...
You do, and you also have to be comfortable. There's two stories I've told already today where I don't know if I made the right decision. I don't know if I made the right decision not meeting Jim Harrison face-to-face. I don't know if I made the right decision saying no to Oprah. But I know that I made that decision. Things seem to have worked out, and there's just not a lot of point in revisiting it.
Michael Perry, our guest today. His latest book, Improbable Mentors, A Happy Tangent. I hope you'll go to his website. SneezingCow.com. You can order it there or get it from your local bookstore for sure. It's great to have him with us. And it's always such a treat for me to talk with him, and especially during a drive. I really enjoy having him with us. Eric Grayling with me here in the last couple of minutes before the top of the hour. It's your chance to support the news and shows like this one. Come to you every day. Your gift right now at 888-202-2552. Very important as we end this year and look forward to 2026. In a lot of ways, I'll be happy that 2025 is over with, to be honest.
Here's to 2026. If you're a WPR listener, I'm sure you'll agree that WPR will be indispensable and unparalleled as a service in 2026 for information, inspiration, and connection in Wisconsin. Look, Michael Perry says no to Oprah, but he says yes to Larry Mueller, and it's a pleasure to be with you here today. We're facing some tough times, but the mission of public media remains as essential as ever, and that means your support is more important than ever. Let's keep WPR strong together. Join in right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Michael Perry has been a great friend and regularly has appeared on this program, and I've had some of the best discussions on the air that I've had have been with Mike. We are listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org, or maybe you're going to phone at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
And when you do, you'll help keep WPR strong, become a first-time donor, or you can add an extra year-end gift. You can add to your sustaining gift to support independent journalism and interesting conversations that you value. Give now, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552.
Really, we're asking you to support the quality program you value on WPR with your gift right now during our drive. Your contribution could be $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose. It makes a big difference for our entire community.
If you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do give. It feels good to know that you're part of making something special happen.
So make your first ever gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month and enjoy the excitement. Really, it's exciting to do it. I've done it many a time. In fact, I do it every drive. I always wind up talking myself into contributing a little more each time we have a drive. And it starts for you with your donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And at $10 or $20 a month, whatever's right for you, it makes intelligent radio available to the entire state of Wisconsin and even beyond. You can see why your gift is so powerful.
And that big impact is accomplished in just a couple of minutes, actually. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We're making steady progress towards our goal of 300 new gifts, new individuals giving, becoming members today. To unlock an additional $10,000 in funds from current members, it's important. This will help us make sure we have the funding to continue to bring the programs you rely on. And it starts with your call or your visit to WPR.org. And that call, the number to call is 888-202-2552.
or you can contribute to WPR.org. Michael Perry is going to be with us for the next hour as well. We'll take a look at the news and then we'll be back. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here today as we talk with Michael Perry about his latest book. It's titled Improbable Mentors and Happy Tangents. Always great to talk with Mike. And always great to have Kate Archer Kent stop by, co-host of Wisconsin Today.
yes, Larry.
I'm glad to have you here. And as you listen to us talk, I hope you'll be glad to be listening because we've got some good news for you. You count on WPR for in-depth discussions, and it's your support that makes these conversations going strong. Give right now to support these conversations at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we are working toward this goal to unlock an additional $10,000 from current members. It is going well. We still have some gifts to get there in order to unlock these dollars. The goal is important. It's set to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs that you rely on.
Let's see. We're at 149 and 151 to go. And I think we took in 30-some callers in the first hour. So let's see.
Larry, you're on top of the math.
Let's see if we can do another 30 or so this hour and move us right along.
Of course we can. It's Larry Mueller. Come on.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's everyone who's listening that is going to make this happen. We make this goal one donation at a time, to be perfectly honest.
Yep.
And let's start with yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And a large slice of funding for WPR. In fact, the biggest and most reliable piece of it is the listener support piece. So while all of our funding sources, they're important, it is your contribution that makes a really big difference. You know, WPR is what it is today thanks to your support. That is you. So keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can kind of ponder about the value you think that WPR brings to your life. Your gift right now, year-end gift, it continues to serve you and your community. Give today at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is important because it provides an unbiased report of news, information. It's a one-stop shopping center for information and learning, as far as I'm concerned. I do not listen to commercial radio anymore. I have no time for it. I don't like to be shouted at. I like to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and I appreciate all of that because that makes that listening so much more enjoyable.
Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. This is our year-end member drive, and listener support's the biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, is really important.
And giving to WPR, it is easy, takes just a few minutes of your time on this last day of the drive, and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
And that donation comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
Oh, Larry, we've got some good news rolling in here. We have 89 more gifts to go to unlock an additional $10,000 from current members. 89 gifts. We can do it. The goal is important. It's set to make sure that we have the funding for these high-quality programs that keep you informed and inspired. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And you can ask for your Wisconsin State Park Pass this drive when you give $25 a month or more. You're supporting the programs here, and you're also having the opportunity to visit dozens of state parks and recreation areas for a whole year. You can ask for that park pass while supplies last at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, Larry's a sustainer, I'm a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up. You make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs that you love.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. We're so close. 89 gifts to go.
I'm really there.
Hey, what about you? It's powerful. Really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you very much for your contributions. Michael Perry, our guest today, his new book, you get a copy, read it. It's titled Improbable Mentors and Happy Tangents. And it's great to have Michael back to be with us to talk about the book and about a little about his life as well. Mike, Glenn in Sun Prairie emailed us and says, as a fellow writer, I've always viewed Michael Perry as a writer's writer. Does Mike consider that a compliment?
Oh, well, sure. I mean, of course. I'm very grateful for that. I do have, the only qualification I have, is I have a book called Million Billion, which is a collection of short pieces. And in the preface to that, I talk about how, because of my background growing up on a farm and working on a sawmill and on a ranch and just a general blue-collar working-class setting, I've always thought of myself as a writer with a small W. And that kind of ties back to what I was saying earlier, too, about trying to make a living at this, that I don't ever assume, and it turns out I'm right, that the world is sitting around waiting for my wisdom or insight. And that's why, you know, like, I don't think of myself as a capital A author or a capital W writer. I like the idea of the lowercase, that you're just showing up to do your job. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I am grateful for that note, because if a guy can set self-deprecation aside for 30 seconds, mm-hmm. you know, you work hard at a craft. You work hard to try to get better. And I've already talked today about, you know, realizing in retrospect I wasn't ready, even if I might have wanted to be ready. And so I hope that I've become, you know, that's one thing, too. One of the things I talk about in the book about surviving as an independent artist is just doing whatever it takes. And in my case, you know, writing books and doing voiceover work and doing one-man shows and having a band. And in business terms, you'd refer to that as multiple revenue streams. But the greatest joy for me is knowing that whatever form it manifests in, it all started with me sitting down alone at the desk to write. And I get up in the morning and the first thing I want to do is write. And I can't believe that I'm allowed to do it.
You mentioned the band Rich from Bayfield couldn't stay with us, but wonders, can you talk more about the guitar player in your band who's a woman? Rich thinks he saw her playing on a national late night TV show.
Rich is right. It was a long time ago, but so I have a band and they are terrific. I love, you know, I mentioned self-deprecation and in my case, can't really get enough of it, but I love to brag on my band because they're amazing musicians and they're good people. And the guitarist he's referring to is my friend, Mary Cucciafello. And Mary, we always tease her when we do shows because Mary was raised in Connecticut. And we have a little moment when I introduce the band and I say, hands up, who in the band went to Yale? And Mary is an Ivy Leaguer, but she graduated from Yale and then took her Telecaster guitar and headed to Texas and learned how to play Waylon Jennings, Phaser, Telly leads, and she played roadhouses all across Texas. And she got signed to Mercury Records, and she finished an album, and she had Bruce Springsteen's drummer on it and all these crack session musicians. And the album was done and it was all ready to launch. And she was even on, and this is probably what he's referring to, she was on The Tonight Show and played the first single and just rocked the house. And in between that and the release of the album, one of those big corporate things happened. The label was sold. Everybody who was there to support her was fired, and she had to start over. So we're just so lucky to have Mary in the band. And we have pretty good band conversations in the van because we're a pretty good mix of Wisconsin farm kids. We got someone there from Yale. We've got a pilot. We've got, you know, a drummer who's kind of a nature freak. We got a steel player who just tries to go fishing every spare minute he's got. And one of my favorite moments is, you know, you're in a good band van if you're all, y'all just went to Quick Trip and got good old, you know, gas station coffee and donuts, and you're rolling down the road in your van, and then someone starts the conversation with the phrase, "Not to be pedantic."
Oh man! And they have
That's Mary Cutrafello, and she can rip it up on the telly. She usually plays her Gretsch when she's with us. She just rips it up.
And the band sometimes has comments when somebody asks them about your guitar playing.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the band's favorites, someone said. And actually, here's what really hurts. The band was there, but it was my daughter who was singing backup with us who made the comment. Some sound engineer that was trying to get us set up said, well, does Mike play guitar? And my daughter says, Mike has a guitar.
I love that. Oh, and by the way, CJ in Central Wisconsin emailed us, and he thinks it's your birthday today. So happy birthday.
Well, I don't know how he found that out, but yeah, he's absolutely right. Yeah. One more time around the sun.
Maybe. One more time around the sun. Michael emailed us, as a corporate speaker, do you tell them what they want to hear or what they need to hear?
I never tell them what they want to hear. I maybe tell them what they need to hear. And then the rest of it, I just tell them what I want to say. And the term corporate speaker, you know, like, I don't come in with a PowerPoint. Honestly, my corporate speech is not a lot different than, so last week I gave a talk to a bunch of farmers, and then I was up north and gave a talk to a bunch of bankers. And then, so I just really, 90% of what I do is just try to be, you know, mostly I get hired to be funny and entertaining, and I try my best to do that. But I think a lot of the things are more universal and implied. I'm not the guy who shows up with the PowerPoint and the 12 desperate steps to success. I mean, again, I refer you to, you know, take my advice with the understanding that I'm driving a 2002 Toyota tour van. So, but I'm pretty happy to be there. So all joking aside, what I will do, if it is a slightly more focused event, I meet with the people ahead of time, and I see, you know, I say, are there particular things that you know, themes you'd like me to address? But I don't contort myself. I can fashion things, but I think you just speak from the heart no matter the situation.
Hey, I want to go back to your nursing for a minute. You went to school of nursing, and you write in your book how nursing is. Helped you in your writing and speaking career?
Yeah, I'd say there are two things that come to mind that really helped me with my having a 4-year nursing degree. And the first, in a more arty general sense, and the fact that I wound up becoming a writer, is that our nursing program studied something, it was based on, structured around something called the Loomis and Wood model, which was a holistic healthcare model, in which nurses, when we assessed someone, we didn't just focus on their blood pressure or just on their abdominal pain. Of course, you gathered that data, but you also took into consideration their emotional state, their emotional needs, their psychological state, their economic, socioeconomic situation, their family situation. In other words, you viewed them as a holistic being. And then from that holistic assessment, you then drew some threads, which then led to a concrete nursing care plan. And so what I would say is that nursing taught me human assessment and what is writing but human assessment. And that's how I tend to approach if I'm writing about something or someone. I want all the information I can get, and then from there I will try to draw a few threads and weave some sort of story that's representative. So that's the arty response. The more fundamental response is that I'm very shy and very much a loner, and I've learned how to function in public, and I enjoy performing, I enjoy speaking. But that's obviously a very specific, there's some pretty specific frames set up around that. So mostly I would prefer just to never come out. And like one of the things I really don't like is cold calling or meeting someone the first time. Well, when you're a freelance writer, especially back in my magazine days, you're doing that constantly. You're constantly meeting people you don't know and having to ask them questions. And so what the only half joking thing I say in the book is that in those situations, I just go right back to my nurse's training, in which I was taught how to go into a small room with a complete stranger and in the first 3 minutes ask them to take off their clothes and tell me about their bowel habits. And I was figuring, well, if you can do that, you can certainly ask Tim McGraw about his latest single, you know.
Oh, man. Michael Perry, our guest, his book, and a lot of what we're talking about, you're going to find little pieces of in his book, Improbable Mentors, A Happy Tangent. And I'm happy that he's with us today, and I'm also happy Kate Archer Kemp stayed around, too, because I need a second voice here when I talk about giving on Wisconsin Public Radio during our year-end member drive. Maybe you've already given this year. Maybe you're going to make ongoing monthly gifts today. You can make that a special year-end gift for the essential service you rely on all year long. Just takes a couple of minutes at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We are getting closer.
I keep looking at the screen, Larry, just to get an update here. So, you know, this is a really exciting time. This is a wonderful conversation on the Larry Mueller Show, and I'm enjoying it so much. But to level with you, as a WPR listener, you probably know it has been a challenging year for public media, and WPR has been around for more than 100 years. It existed before federal funding. It will continue to serve you and your community in the future. But that future, it counts on you right now. So let's keep WPR strong together. Make a gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, I've had some good laughs here and have really enjoyed talking with Mike Perry today. He is a wonderful writer and a wonderful humorist and just a wonderful guy, to be perfectly honest. And it's fun to have him with us. It's really wonderful. He's giving a lot of his time here, a couple of hours today, to be with us. And when you give, think about Michael Perry or the other shows, the other guests that I have on the show. When you give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So I hope you'll just choose an amount that works for you and then make your contribution.
And if you're looking for an easy way to make a gift to WPR, become a sustaining member. Make automatic monthly contributions from your bank account or your credit card. You know, a lot of people give $15 a month on this plan. Some give $100 a month, and the amount it's up to you.
It really is. And as a sustainer, we keep pushing that a little bit because that provides us with a sort of a steady source of income.
Sure does. Yep.
We know it's coming in. Every month there's a certain amount of money coming from thousands of people all over the state of Wisconsin and outside the state as well. So it's reliable funding for your favorite radio station. So start today at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You learn something new every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. This important service is available to all thanks to community support. We'll say thank you with next year's State Park sticker when you give $25 a month or more. Support your lifelong learning on WPR and enjoy access to Wisconsin's lakes, forests, and prairies. Give now and ask for your park sticker. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. Your support during our drive makes programs like this one, The Larry Mueller Show, or it makes programs like Wisconsin Today.
Woo-hoo.
I almost forgot the title of your show. I'm sorry.
No.
Kate is, of course, co-host with Rob Ferret of that wonderful show. Your gift, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And our year-end member drive ends at 6 o'clock sharp, and that still leaves you time, not much, to cast your vote in favor of Wisconsin Public Radio, in favor of The Larry Mueller Show. Take just a couple minutes to make your gift right now.
And we're closing in less than 80 gifts, I'm guessing, right now to go, but maybe I'm wrong. We'll get an update here, but we're closing in on our goal, and I hope you will take the time now to make that contribution to help us along. We're looking for 300 folks today to contribute. What about you? Give right now. Very important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Talking today with Michael Perry about his latest book. It's entitled Improbable Mentors, A Happy Tangent. Yeah, there we go. And you can join in, too, with your own questions or comments as we move along. Mike in Williams Bay emailed us, Michael. He was at your performance at Stoughton, Wisconsin, some years back. An audience member had a medical emergency. And just that fast, the house lights went on. Michael went off stage, came back with a medical bag. And Mike says they were in the balcony and could see the situation. After 20 to 30 minutes, Michael was back on the stage. The lights dimmed and the show resumed. And Mike says, Michael, thank you for your quick thinking and all of you have done to make the world a better place.
Gosh, I remember that evening. And yeah, it was, I don't know, I was on stage and in the middle of something and I could hear a commotion in the back and it was evident that someone had had a medical emergency and I had my EMT kit in the van and I sprinted out and grabbed it and brought it back in. I really didn't do anything very heroic, just sort of stood by and stabilized the scene till the ambulance got there. But I do remember getting back on stage then and thinking, well, I guess we just proceed. And I just remember, I credit the audience, though, because the audience was, you know, they weren't gawking, they didn't cluster around, they just let the folks do what they needed to do. And but, yeah, that's the, I think that's the first and only time I've ever finished the second half of a show with a medical kit and a defibrillator on stage with me.
Oh, man. Jim in Middleton emailed, was wondering if you've written about lesser-known natural gems of Wisconsin, and he's thinking of places like St. Peter's Dome or the Juniper Rock Overlook or the Gundy Canyon or the Blue Hills Felsenmeer.
Yeah, I haven't necessarily. Now, back in the day when I was doing a lot more magazine work and doing a lot more regional magazine work, I would have written about places like that. But boy, that's getting to be a long time ago. And nowadays my writing tends to be more, like I say, memoir and the people around me more than the specifics, but I certainly wouldn't rule it out. I've had some interest recently from a publisher on a book that it's not necessarily about the places, but it's a little more about the Midwest. Whether or not that'll go anywhere, I don't know.
But yeah. Well, you mentioned
one thing about you know, social media pros and cons. We don't need to go into it, but there is just an amazing number of people out there. You know, I follow a couple of people online. One guy that goes to dive bars all around Wisconsin. I know that this gentleman is not requesting that I write about dive bars, but there are people out there on their own, of their own volition, going to places like the gentleman mentioned in his email and posting about them online. And maybe some of those will get gathered up into books at some point. I don't know.
You mentioned memoir-like books. I'm wondering, you do a lot of self-reflection, much more than, unfortunately, I do. I should be doing more, although I've been doing a whole lot of more of it lately as I'm talking about retirement. There's been a lot of self-reflection going on in my head. But what do you gain from it, and what do you think readers stand to gain from it?
Well, I think for as much self-reflection as I've been allowed to do, I should be doing better. but here's the thing. It does always end up coming back to gratitude. And I don't mean happy, skippy gratitude. I'm not good at that. I'm kind of a quiet guy. And I was thinking while you were on break, sometimes I just shake my head at myself. I notice that when I'm on the phone doing interviews like this, I tend to talk louder than I need to, because I was raised by old farmers, and they always felt like they needed to push their voice through the phone. So when I get on the phone, I talk too loud. But anyway, self-reflection. One of the great privileges for me, and I was talking to my wife about this recently, is that I've had family members, immediate family members, who have benefited immensely from therapy and mental health support, and from professionals. But in my case, I was telling her how grateful I am that I've been allowed by chance, by tangent, to work through so many things on the page, and not just work through them. You know, I'm trying to explain myself or explain my little corner of the world to readers. And it ends up feeling like a two-way thing, because I do get emails and nice notes from people, or comments at readings where they say, thank you about writing about such and such, that helped me through this. And yet, I don't know if the readers understand how much I get from them, because in the process of trying to communicate, I am reflecting and I am trying to figure life and myself out. And what a privilege to be allowed to do that daily. And now, to be clear, I'm so clunky day to day also. And I also do things like QuickBooks. You know, I'm always torn between being so grateful for the ineffable. And it truly, there's just a huge part of my life where I get to ponder the ineffable. What a privilege that is. Yeah. On the other hand, I'm also out, you know, trying to get the snow off the dang solar panels, and remembering that my friend who installed them said they're not solar panels, they're photovoltaics. And so I'm stumbling around like everybody else. But yeah, just really, really feel fortunate to be allowed time to reflect and work things through on the page.
Linda in Middleton has a comment for us. Let's go there. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Michael, I've been listening to you for years. When you were on the radio, you were a highlight of my weekend evenings. But one time you read an essay, and I went off and hunted it down, and it made a real difference in my life. And so I want to thank you for that. And you just used a word as you were talking just a couple minutes ago. The essay was about gratitude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, know, I've never gone viral, but that's the closest that I've come. I read that one time on public radio. I believe it was on the show What Do You Know? And I read that, and oh my gosh, I was unprepared for the reaction. And the reason that I'm happy about that is that, A, it's always nice when you can connect with people. But the other thing I like about that essay is that I wrote it on a day when I was really struggling to feel grateful. I was not having a good day, and I was very dark about things in general. And I thought, well, no better time than to figure out why you should be grateful and what you should have gratitude for. And so I think because I didn't start, I think even in the essay itself, I say this isn't all about hugs and puppies. It's like this is about finding gratitude on those days when things, you know, gratitude isn't the first thing on your mind. And so I'm so grateful that you took the time to say that, because I already said I don't consider myself anointed to do anything, but I do see that I'm lucky to be allowed to take a shot at a piece like that and then have it connect. So thank you for taking the time to say so.
Linda, thank you very much for your comments and for your call. I want to go, I definitely want to go to Uncle Stan. You tell such a wonderful story about writing with Uncle Stan, and I think you started with talking about trying to get published in the New York Times or whatever and not having a lot of success at the time?
Well, at the time, still haven't. Thanks for bringing it up, Larry. The point I was making there, so my Uncle Stan was a trucker, an over-the-road trucker. And the word hero has just been diluted to the point of meaninglessness in society. But he was my hero, and he taught me so many things, and some of them that I learned in the moment, and some of them that, as this book is kind of structured around, things that I realized later what he had taught me. But I got out of nursing school, and it was back in the day when you could actually work three jobs and get some scholarships and pay for college. This is not the old guy going, "You kids, I put myself to college." No, it was a different time. But I was able to do that. And I remember when I graduated from college, not only did I not have any student loans, but I had $1,000 in the bank. And so my thinking at that age was, well, I don't need a job.
You got $1,000.
I got $1,000. So I went trucking with my Uncle Stan. I remember we went out to the East Coast, hauled some cheese out there, and went to the first time I saw the Statue of Liberty. It was from the shotgun seat of his big old semi truck. And so I just rode with him, and we talked and put on the miles. And then what happened is that later, I was always wanting to get my poems in the New Yorker or my essays in the Atlantic and failing. And in the meantime, I started writing for a trucking magazine called Road King Magazine. And the point I make in the book is that, you know, there were some folks who said, "Really, you're writing for a trucking magazine? I thought you were a poet." And I just was like, well, it's a good gig. Plus, the editor is one of the most erudite fellows I've ever known. He was a terrific editor. He spoke Russian. He had been an investigative reporter. And furthermore, he sent me on assignments all over the U.S., writing with some of the most interesting people I've ever met. And so part of what I'm trying to say in that piece is that it's great to shoot for the fancy places. And, you know, it'd still be nice to get a poem in the New Yorker. But sometimes we overlook the richness of the trucking magazine. And, you know, just stretch that metaphor however you need to. But for me, it worked out great. So, yeah, here's to Uncle Stan. He's gone now, but put a lot of miles on with him.
Michael Perry, our guest today, his book is titled Improbable Mentors and Happy Tangents. It's great to have him with us today. Kate Archer-Kent joining me again on this last day of our drive. We're getting closer to reaching our goal, and you can help out. Your tax dollars, our tax deductions, can come in a year-end gift now for 2025 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And, you know, the fact is public media has had a challenging year, but WPR will continue to be your source for, information for these really compelling author conversations and a place for connection. You know, now you are more important than ever for our future. So keep WPR strong, join us, or increase your support today with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Get such good guests on Wisconsin Public Radio because the guests know you'll ask great questions when you call in or when you shoot an email to us. And that makes a lot of sense to me. It's important. Yeah. It's an important part of the show, and your support makes this possible. You are the most reliable source of funding for our programs. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And, you know, we have things we spend money on daily, like that cup of coffee or perhaps a favorite snack.
And you can consider the Larry Mueller Show, or you can consider the news that you get, or you can consider a lot of things that we produce here on WPR as gifts a bit. Make a dollar a day gift to Wisconsin Public Radio. That's probably less than your other daily treats. You can sign up right now, and that gift is $30 a month, it would amount to, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I became a sustaining member because I listened to WPR throughout the day. It's in my car, it's in my home. I know that there is always a topic of interest that I'll enjoy hearing. I like being a sustainer because I'm listening to Wisconsin Public Radio all the time anyway, and I would rather not have to worry about responding and making an extra phone call or sending in the envelope that gets mailed to me. I just like knowing that my money is there and will be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio for years to come. I would say become a sustaining member because it's so very easy. Do it today, you'll be glad that you did. I'm Nancy from New Berlin, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
I agree. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during this year-end member drive. Larry Mueller with Kate Archer Kent. Join in with your gift right now because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
And maybe you've been listening to WPR without giving because you didn't know that we are listener-supported. Well, here's the fact, you know, we are the largest source of funding for WPR programs comes from listeners.
Or maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard, and you here you are still listening. So now's the perfect time to support the programs you rely on. Your gift, 10, 20 bucks a month, whatever amount you choose makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, Larry, we have this goal of 300 gifts to unlock an additional $10,000 from current members. We've been chipping away at this goal. Last I saw, we had about 89 gifts to go.
Well, I bet it's fewer than that.
All right. I hope so, too. But the fact is, the goal is important. It's set to make sure we have the funding for high-quality programs that keep you informed and inspired. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift right now, very powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Do it now, and thank you. Larry Mueller here talking today with Michael Perry, who has written about 20 books, roughly, I'm thinking, and his most recent that I really like a lot. It's entitled Improbable Mentors and Happy Tangents. Great to have him with us. And again, you can join in 800-642-1234 or email to talk at WPR.org. Jim and Ephraim emailed us, Michael, and wondering if you are still doing the Michael Perry voicemails. Jim says he hasn't got one in a while and misses them.
Yeah, just sent one out. I send one out every week, so he maybe should drop us an email and figure out what's up with that. So I do a thing called called Michael Perry's voicemail, and it's kind of a combination email / podcast. It's a brief, usually between 8 to 12 minutes long. I just sit down and either share some original writing or a combination of original writing and the piece from the past, and then I also supplement it with some photos, and then I have a section called Marginalia where I supplement it with photos, like I said, and other items related to the piece, maybe from behind the scenes or something that went into the writing of the piece. And then a lot of times also I share what I'm reading, the books I'm reading, including things I've underlined and highlighted, and sometimes I explain why I underlined that particular passage. And it's like a lot of those Substack things. It's a two-tiered thing. There's a free subscription, and you probably get one every month or so, and then there's one where you can sign up and get the weekly one that comes. So, he should go to sneezingcow.com and email. It says email Mike, but I'll put him in touch with my manager, Ben. We'll sort that out for him.
Your person. Your person.
Yeah, man, I got a guy named Ben, and he's great. We've known each other for 20 years. I'm not a big deal, but there is just enough stuff coming in that I can't take care of it all anymore, so I do have some help. Great help.
Yeah, you got to have it. Dave in Madison has something for us. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Dave.
I've been a fan for a long time. I've seen you so many times in bookstores, at the Stoughton Opera House, reading with your band. But my partner and I took a trip of Wisconsin waterfalls last year, and we made a pilgrimage to New Auburn. We went out of our way and just drove around and thought about your books and thought about you and what a blessing you are. And really appreciate that. And I have one other quick comment. The 40 Acres Deep book was really touching. And it was a different tone than most of your books. And I wondered if you could comment on that. I know it came out like in 2022.
That was a marvelous book. Michael, go ahead and comment.
Yeah, well, thank you for making the call, and thanks for saying that. That book means a lot to me because I really doubted whether I should write it because, A, I didn't. It's about a farmer struggling deeply and darkly, and it's not a happy book. It's pretty unrelentingly dark. And I had reservations about writing it. The main reservation being, was I being presumptuous to try and write about something that I wasn't going through myself? And then the other reservation was, would I get it right? But I rarely send out manuscripts to people ahead of time, except for my editors. But in this case, I sent the manuscript to a couple of farmers and then a few people in ag mental health. And to a person, they said, no, that story needs to be told, and it needs to be told in that tone. And the other thing that I liked about that book was I just resolved, we took it to some publishers in New York and no one was interested. And that's not, I expected that. They just really didn't know what to do with it. First of all, it's a novella, so it's very short. And then secondly, just a very dark story about a farmer in rural Wisconsin. And so we just published it ourselves with our little self-publishing company. And the thing has now sold in the thousands and we're reprinting more. And it's connected in ways I never anticipated with people. And I saw several more orders came in. And so the thing that I'm grateful about with that book is I just resolved that for this book, I'm not going to think about sales. I'm not going to think about audience or marketing. I'm just going to write everything in my heart. And also not just about the person, but there were scenes I longed to write. I wanted to describe what hoarfrost looks like when it's cold out and what it looks like to see deer running across a snowy field under the moonlight. And so it was just that book that I tried to make as pure as possible. And it's connected in ways that I'm really grateful for. So.
Dave, thank you very much for calling and for bringing 40 Acres Deep up, because it is a memorable book. And if you haven't read it, you should read it. Along with, in fact, you could probably order both at the same time. Improbable Mentors and 40 Acres Deep would be a nice combination of books. Different, entirely different, but
the kind of book they kind of would bookend each other, so to speak. And I would just reiterate now, too, that these books, because we do them, Some books I do with the big New York publishers, and others are just better suited to our own little publishing company. And sometimes books like 40 Acres Deep and Improbable Mentors won't necessarily be right on the shelves, but your very cool, powerful, independent bookseller can order them through Ingram, or they can order them directly through us, too.
Those folks out of New York don't always know best, I think. You write about wanting to talk to firemen's groups or fire folks, and them saying, "Well, no, you don't want to talk to those folks. They don't read as much."
Yeah, they basically they were so good to me. And by the way, I just wrote a long 6,000-word essay that you can find online at I think the website is called Panoptica.ai. And it's a 6,000-word essay I wrote called Bailing in America. And it's about me going to Hollywood to pitch things. And then a little bit about this New York business, too, about I would try to tell my New York publisher, hey, Population 45 is about volunteer firefighters and EMTs. Send me to firefighter and EMT conventions. Let me talk. We'll sell a bunch of books. And they just would never do it. And they always – it was always some variation on the line, well, those people aren't readers. And the line that I use is, listen, I've been in the back of the ambulance with those folks. I've fought fires with those folks. I've been to the demolition derby with those folks. And statistically speaking, the publisher's not wrong. But if I go to and I did this just last year, if I go to an EMS firefighting conference in Duluth, Minnesota, and stand at the door at 8 a.m. on a cold Saturday morning, and as every volunteer firefighter that comes through the door, if I say, would you like to read a sensitive, reflective personal memoir about the nature of time and existence, they will just look at me sideways. But if you give me an hour to get up in front of them and just tell stories that they relate to, that they understand to, that they have lived, all of a sudden I can't sell enough. And, you know, and I've sold thousands of copies of that book to people who, quote unquote, aren't readers. And so in both the book Improbable Mentors and in this essay called Bailing in America, I write about that. And I also make clear, especially in the Bailing in America essay, those people in New York and even a few of them in L.A. have done wonderful things for me, and I love working with them. But there are times when you just have to navigate on your own because, you know, like that book, 40 Acres Deep, I just knew it wasn't about whether they were bad or good. It was just that they didn't know those people, and so thus they didn't know how to present it.
You keep navigating on your own, Michael, and you're making the right decisions. The heck with Oprah.
The ones you're seeing and know about, you might want to talk to my immediate family about.
Michael, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a real treat. Michael Perry, his book, Improbable Mentors and Happy Tangents. And go to sneezingcow.com and you might be able to find a copy of it right there. As we are in the last, and boy, now we're up to the last few minutes of the show, Kate Archer Kent. I haven't heard from Kaylee Glasscock to find out where we are in our overall goal, but we've got to be getting close.
I feel like we're getting there. We're
getting close to our goal of 300 contributors during the course of the day. We were hoping to get it done by 6 o'clock today, I think, or something like that. But we'd like to end early, and you can help us out with your contribution at WPR.org at 888-202-2552.
And you're likely aware, it's been a tough year for public media. It's a challenge for all stations, including for Wisconsin Public Radio, but we can keep WPR strong together, and that is why your gift right now is so crucial at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Michael Perry is a Wisconsin institution. One of the great people and great writers and humorists that we've ever produced here in this state. And he comes willingly during a member drive to talk with us about what he's up to and talk about his books. It's great to have him with us. And I know that listeners enjoy this, hearing from him and the other folks that we have here on WPR. And when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you make this hour and so many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And you know, this year-end member drive, it is a great time to make your last gift of the year to WPR. Takes just a few minutes of your time at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you give, you'll have that good feeling of supporting the station you've enjoyed all year long. You'll have enjoyed the Larry Mueller Show all year long. And then you're looking forward to 2026.
You can turn on the radio every day without any upfront charge and enjoy hours of news and conversations and great entertainment, classical music. WPR is available for everyone because listeners like you help cover the cost.
So join in today. Join in now. Become a member with your first ever gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our goal is to unlock $10,000 in additional funds from our current members. The goal is important. It's set to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs you rely on. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Kate Archer-Kent produces, co-hosts a great program in the morning.
Thanks,
I'm co-host.
Larry. Oh, that's nice.
It's a great show. I love the show. I love the show. And I hope you like our show here from 11 to 1. If you haven't contributed, do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you.